Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Lynn Eveson. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
Right, so I bet some people go, I wonder how the pastors get the word. Do you ever think that? Do you ever think, I wonder how the pastors get the word? Well, I can tell you, sometimes it's blood, sweat and tears. Sometimes it is from... the quietness of prayer, and sometimes it is in the midst of the chaos that is going on around us. And this week has been a particularly interesting week, but I was thinking on some things. You know, you can be doing practical stuff and still be thinking on some things, thinking on the things of God. He works in our thought life. We have the mind of Christ. He works in our heart, and he's at work all the time. So despite what we're doing, he's still at work. And I was thinking on some things this year, and I was thinking about the start of the year. It's March already, and look what God's done. I was thinking of the start of the year, and we started with that awesome prayer meeting. And what was it called? Storm 2014. And then, like, we made that declaration over it, and we did have some storms, didn't we? Some pretty powerful actual storms, strong winds, and seas so violent that they came against a cruise liner, and the wave smashed against that ship, went over it, and even broke through the scenic window of the dining room. That's pretty scary stuff. If I'd been on that ship, I would have been thinking, I'm not replaying the Titanic. God, get me out of here. But that kind of storms became in the natural. And then this week, you wouldn't recognise the cupboard upstairs. You just wouldn't. Pastor Shane's been at work on it. If anybody wants to kind of clear out, you know, just get him to come along, he'll clear everything out for you. And he was clearing out upstairs, and he came across this photo of me. And he said, this photo of you. And I said, yeah. I said, I know where that was taken. That was taken on a boat on Galilee. And I was remembering the awesomeness of being in Israel. And then, lo and behold, the guys were off to the Israel conference, the annual conference. And I don't know, and you know when God just starts knitting things together in your heart, reminding you of things. And I remembered the power of walking where he'd walked, of seeing things that he saw in the natural. We can all get it in the spiritual, but being in that place is so incredible. Truly, if you can get to Israel, don't go on a holiday. Get on a trip with Kingdom Faith. Get into the Word of God. You will hear the truth of where you're standing. And to be out there, and it was such a bright, sunny, beautiful day. Blue skies, blue seas, and I look really happy and chill, don't I? And it was the most amazing day. And then it all got put away. I don't like photos of myself anyway. But I was really thinking on that, and I so clearly heard God say, the Sea of Galilee, remember it doesn't always look like that. And so that's where that whole train of what God's speaking to us today started to percolate. And we're talking about some fishermen, and we've got a declaration on our notices that Elohim Church has gone fishing. Yay! Jamie, get into the real gone fishing. Get into that place of bringing in a catch for the kingdom of our God, because it is the best fishing to get into. So I could be in any one of three of the Gospels, but I'm in Gospel of Mark chapter 4. And this is one of the most famous accounts of one of the most famous storms on Galilee. I can't think of any other storms that have been written about so extensively as this one. And we're in Mark 4 and verse 35. But I want to just put a bit of background into this particular account, because so many things happened on this day. Sometimes we'll take something from the gospel in a bit of isolation, but so many things happened on this particular day for Jesus. It started off with a real contretemps with some Pharisees, a real aggressive encounter, followed by his friends and family turning up at where he was, saying to Jesus, "Come home. Goodness sake, what are you playing at?" And they turned up with a posse to kidnap him. He put them very much in their place in short order. You know, we need to keep things in the right order. Our family is important, but God is more important. When God's first, our family will line up. And so Jesus put them in his place, even though they thought he'd gone totally crazy. And they wanted him to calm down and go home with them. And then Jesus spent a long time teaching the people. He not only spent a long time speaking to the people, teaching them, enlightening them, but he was also at the same time doing some leadership training with his disciples, explaining to them what he was teaching, explaining to them the meaning of the parables, so that they too would really get into what he was communicating to them. Which is why we expound on the word, not because we know better than God, but just when God speaks into our heart, we can get a grip of what he's saying now to us in context in exactly the same way as when he was speaking to his disciples then. Because you're a disciple. Just say, "I'm a disciple." Cool, we're getting the picture. So he's talking to his disciples. And here in Mark 4 and verse 35, on the same day, so all this had already happened. Man, I'd want to go home and put my feet up. But on the same day that all of this had happened, Jesus' days were pretty packed. His disciples' days were pretty like full on. No wonder they needed to withdraw now and again. And often, even when they withdrew, it just didn't happen because the people would mob. But in the midst of all that, in the midst of this day, as dusk fell, Jesus was sitting in this boat on the shores of Galilee. And I just went on a bit of a, you know, oh, I'd so remember that boat on Galilee. So remember the testimony of the guy who owned the boat. And he was playing his guitar and we took communion and it was like awesome. Absolutely amazing. And the sun, it was shining, it was warm. And I just felt, I can remember now looking at that photograph, I remember how at peace with God and the world I felt. Now, Brian will tell you, the only boat you will really get me on normally is a cruise liner with stabilizers and everything. But I was out on that boat and it was small and there were a lot of people on it. And I felt so at peace, so much in the center of God's heart that I was blown away in a different way. But I don't think I'd have been too happy setting out at dusk in the dark. But here they were. These fishermen did that every single day of their lives when they were fishing. Remember in Luke 5 where we looked at they'd been fishing all night and they still pushed out again. So pushing out at dusk was kind of normal for these guys. It was a normal day. Off they went at dusk. And we join the action at this place. Mark 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." The other side of the lake. He wasn't talking about he meant the other side of the lake. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. He didn't go home for a shower, didn't go home for a meal, didn't go home to get changed. He'd done all of this in this day. And just as he was, and just as they were, they set out in the boat. and other little boats were also with him. We kind of forget that bit, don't we? It was not just the boat that Jesus was in, but other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling up. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Oh, not the little faith bit, this one, but the no faith bit. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey?" Just that great word. Just say, obey. You know what? When Jesus speaks, it's good to obey. Because when we don't obey, we end up in trouble. It's good to obey. And so, that night in the storm, the disciples found themselves in the fight of their lives. They might well have needed this Isaiah scripture. No weapons formed against us are going to prosper. Did they bother to use it at the time? I don't know, but they certainly knew it. And they found themselves in the fight of their life. But in the midst of that, they experienced the Lord's power to deliver them. And they lived to tell the tale. They lived to write the gospel so we too could learn from what they experienced. I do not want to have to go out on that boat on Galilee to get this experience. I want to take this experience. I want to take this account. I want to take this word. I want to apply it to my life without needing to get in the boat. Does that make sense? Because, man alive, my family will tell you, don't get me easily on water. It is one of the places I am generally out of my comfort zone in a big way. So I want to learn this lesson from here. I don't want to have to go through that particular one to learn it. And their experience has just got so much to show us and to teach us today. And I am so confident that God has given us this word today for our context, that if anybody near you goes to sleep, tell them only Jesus gets to sleep in the midst of the word about a storm. We all stay awake because we need to get to know what God wants us to do. And as we journey through life, guys, even with Jesus, don't you know you get storms along the way? Wow, storms arise. And so often, like the disciples, we go into panic and pandemonium mode and think those storms are going to destroy us. Am I on my own? Cool. But Jesus shows us that the storms are not sent to destroy us, but to develop us. And they're there to disciple us and to deepen our faith. I don't want to get through my storm and say, "Why have you got no faith?" I want to get through my storm by faith. I want to be the one who makes it through that storm to the other side of the storm and the other side of where Jesus has got for me to go. And I'm going to learn all I can without having to physically get into that challenge. And as God was just really unfolding this, I just felt that, I just know that many of us are probably facing storms today. If we're not in one, we've probably just come through one. And if we are not in one, there's probably one ahead. But it's good news. It's not bad news. It's good news. What does God do in the storm? He uses them to develop us, to disciple us, and to deepen our... You want to be developed? You want to be discipled? You want to be a person of deeper faith? Fine. That's good. take courage, because God is in the midst of every single storm by his promise. He said, I will never forsake you. I am. How often? Always, even to the end of the age. So he's going to be there at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the storm. He's going to get you through to the other side. There's a great verse in Psalm 24. It says, and I want you to complete the verse. Yea, though I... Oh, very close, very close. You need to get your iPads, iPhones, and Bible out and read it. Yea, though I walk where? Say it again. Stop there, stop there. Where am I walking? Where am I going? I'm not camping. I am going, but I'm not camping. Yea, though I walk through. We're going through. The disciples have got that verse as well. They didn't know it was a verse. They just knew the whole psalm. They knew that they need fear no evil. We know that we need fear no evil. There's evil in the world. There's evil intent, evil intention, and evil at work. But we are not here to be afraid of it. We're here to conquer through it. Take courage. So what can we learn and apply from the storm situation? I kind of kept thinking of it as the storm situation, because situations come and they're stormy sometimes. I'm confident that if I asked who's in the midst of a storm, somebody would put their hand up. But what can we apply from this storm situation? Well, first of all, the power of the storm. Man, it was powerful. It was full of venom, full of violence, and it was a powerful storm. Let's not minimize the fact that storms are sometimes powerful, but let's also maximize the fact that we know someone who is more powerful than the storm. So not only was the power of the storm vehement, its suddenness just came upon them. There are some suddenlies of God that I really look forward to. There are some suddenlies in my life that I don't cherish quite so much, but I need to grow through them, learn from them, know that my faith is being developed through them, I'm being discipled through them, and my faith is being deepened through them. What's the common denominator? Through them. And God is at work. And storms are really, really common on the Sea of Galilee. It's about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. It's surrounded by mountains. The Golan Heights run along all its length. And when the storms come in, they funnel through these mountains with an absolute violence that can be heard and seen and felt. And they attack the lake. It's a really deep lake, and it's 680 feet below sea level, which also has an impact on the ecology of the lake. And God made it just like that. And these storms, they funnel in, and because the lake is narrow and small, they attack the water. Because the water is deep, the waves rise up. Because the shore is so close, when the waves hit the shore, they roll back with such violence that 10 and 20 foot waves are not unknown on that inland sea, which is a lake. And so this is we're not just talking at a bit of a blow out there. We're talking about one of the fiercest storms these disciples who fished this lake nightly had ever seen. So bad, they thought that they were going to die. That's the context. You know, sometimes we can read over something and we don't get the context. We don't get the absolute terror and violence and power of this storm that came, let's say it, against them. We need to be aware that the enemy sends stuff against them. So this is what they were in the midst of. And normally these storms don't actually happen at night just because of the weather patterns. They normally happen in the day. So these fishermen would not have been expecting this wind that was obviously calm when they set out at dusk. And that's the way life is sometimes, isn't it? Things change. We want things to change, but sometimes things change in a way that we don't want them to. Everything can be fine one moment and the next the bottom falls out. One minute you're enjoying fair weather and the next you find yourself in the middle of a violent storm. One phone call, one 24-hour period, one tick and tock of the clock, and something comes in to rock our boat. A storm, and we find ourselves in the midst of it. And this should not actually surprise us. Sudden storms are part of our lives. And let's just look at John 16:33, because I want you to be really encouraged. And Jesus said this to his disciples, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." He's not prophesying it over you. He's just saying this is the way it is. "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Yeah. Be cheerful in the midst of it, because Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." He's even overcome the great tribulation that is coming on the world. He's overcome. So we do not need to be anything but peaceful because he's spoken it. "These things I've spoken to you, that in me," not outside of me, "but in me," Jesus said, "you may have peace." In him, even in the storm, because you're in him. Is that too difficult? Too deeply theological. In him we can have peace. And this sudden storm was not only surprising in its suddenness and its power, but its severity. The ship, it says, was filling. The windstorm arose, and the minute it arose, the boat already started to fill. That first wave crashed with such violence that they could not bail out quickly enough before the next wave was crashing over them. Sometimes life's like that, isn't it? Man alive, I just dealt with that and this is in now. But it doesn't matter how violent or severe or sudden the storm is, Jesus is still the same. Only the boat is rocking. Our faith is meant to be built on that rock that Pastor Shane spoke about this morning, because Jesus is building us rock solid. And these fishermen are terrified at the suddenness and the severity of this storm. The ship's rocking and reeling. Oh, I feel seasick just talking about it. It's full of water and they're afraid it's about to sink. It was a violent time and it was nighttime and it was dark. And don't things seem worse at night? Where night terrors start to plague us and play on our mind. But Jesus is still in the boat, in the dark, at night. Even if the boat is filling up, even if the waves seem to be overcoming the boat. They couldn't see how close they were to the shore. And do you remember who else was with them? Lots of other little boats. They couldn't see how close they were to the other little boats or where they were. Had they sunk? We don't know. But they were with Jesus, because it said lots of other boats were with him. So I'm fully confident that they got across as well, because they were with who?
Jesus.
Yeah. He spoke peace. They were in the same storm. They got the same peace. We often say, oh, make sure Jesus is in your boat. No, just make sure your boat's with Jesus. He's already in your boat. Make sure that you're with him, that you're moving with him. I don't think I could have kept everything down, so maybe it was a good job they didn't go home for anything to eat. But oh, and they could not understand this grave danger. They couldn't understand why Jesus was still asleep. They decided he didn't care. How often in your storm have you decided that God doesn't care? He's forgotten about poor little you. He loves everybody else except you. He's working on everybody else's behalf except yours. God, don't you know how I'm struggling? I am the I am. And you're asking me if I care. I died on the cross for you. You're asking me if I care. I sent my son not to condemn you, but to save you. And you ask if I care. This storm in a teacup and you're getting stressed about it. You're getting depressed about it. Of course he cares. He demonstrated that he cared. But these guys were pre-cross. They were only just getting the picture. We've got the whole book. Glory. God is so good. That's not to minimise the fact that when storms blow into our life, they actually cause us anguish and pain. And they're difficult and they're challenging. But it doesn't mean that God's not in the midst of it with you. Wow. Sometimes the storms of suffering are devastating. They devastate us with heartache and heartbreak and loss and turmoil. And one problem after another will seem to, I just want to say seem to, arise against us. We have to remember this declaration. It might seem to arise against us. Weapons are formed against us. But they do not prosper. Because God is our shield, our strong deliverer. And do you know, when problems try to arise against us and to drown out the voice of God, and we stand strong, a great testimony comes out of that great test. Great peace comes out of the storm, not just for us, but because we too can speak to others of that testimony. But often these tests are emotional, financial, and relational. I find that they are three of the biggest tests: emotional, financial, and relational. All the others seem quite small in comparison. And those tests are ones that we need to ensure that we are keeping close to Jesus. There are the tests, storms of sorrow, storms of grief, and we can be grief-stricken and shaken by our loss. And sorrow touches every life till Jesus comes back again. But Jesus were with them. Jesus was with them. And Jesus is with us. And we know the resurrection joy that God has brought into our life. And so we need to make sure that others know that resurrection joy as well. So the storm was sudden, it was severe, and we know very likely that the source was demonic. Jesus had just delivered the men from demons. He'd just healed people, set them free from disease. And he was on his way where? To the other side. Mark 5 and verse 1 tells us why. Because he'd heard the cry of one demon-possessed man. Jesus was on his way to face down legions of the demonic. Do you know, we just do not need to get all het up and stressed and fearful of the demonic. God's with us. He confronts it. You know, we think we confront it. He confronts it. It's his power in us, his anointing on us that strengthens us and gets us through. So the source may be demonic, but it is still coming down. He is still the one who commands not only the winds and waves which he created, but he commands the heavenlies. He is in command. We sang it. Did we not? Yes. Who's with us? God of angel armies. The commander is with us. We need to do more than sing it in here. We need to live it out there. Then other people will look and see, man, there's something different in the way they handle the storms of life. And it's a phrase, isn't it? It's a colloquialism, the storms of life. Look at what they've been through, and they're still standing, still smiling. How come? Somebody will ask you one day, and you'll be able to tell them. But there's one more storm. There's one more storm that I felt God impress on me. and it was the storm of sin. You know, sin can seem very attractive. It can blow in like a nice gentle breeze, and it can feel really cool. But when we're in the midst of a storm of sin, we sure need Jesus in our boat. We sure need to be keeping close to him so that that storm of sin is conquered and defeated and bailed out. Sin promises us the best, but sin will soon rip through your life like a tornado that you have never experienced before. And when you're in sin, are you in him? When you're in him, you don't want to be in sin. It isn't a battle or a struggle not to be. It's just remaining in him, and in him, you will not want to be in sin. End of it. Because you'll know that it doesn't look good, feel good, taste good, or do you good. And so we need to be quick. We need to be quick to recognize the storm of sin. And we need to be quick to see that silenced. Do you know, Jesus spoke to the storm. He didn't think about it. He didn't send for a host of angels. He stood up and he spoke to the storm. Shut up. And that's how you defeat the storm of sin. You stand up in faith and you tell it to shut up, because it's usually the voice of the enemy. And when you stand in faith in Jesus, and when you stand up and tell sin to shut up, you're already on the other side. That needed a bit more of a yes. Come on. Come on. Jesus' sovereignty over the storm of sin is ever the same, victorious. Resurrection power, conquering hero, the blood of the Lamb shed to cleanse, heal, deliver, forgive, and live in victory. So if there's a storm of sin in your life today, just stand up, tell it to shut up. Don't put up with it. Silence it. It doesn't matter what the storm is. Whatever it is, God teaches us that he is in control. Not only teaches us he's in control, he continues to deepen our faith, continues to draw us closer to him. Do you know what? This is the best S. I love this one. Sometimes Satan sends the storm, but this is the best S. He's never successful. Not in the life of a born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, God-loving, sin-hating Christian. I can't say that again, but I'm going to listen to it again, because it's the best S. He's never successful. Whoa. The greatest storm that night and in us is not the one outside, it's the one within. It's the storm within. But it doesn't matter whether the storm's on the outside or the inside, Jesus is still leading us. Well done, you've got the word. He's leading us through. He's taking us to the other side. He did it with the cross. Like, there's pre-cross and there's the cross, and he took us to the other side because he went through it, because on the other side there is joy. Woo! Don't you want to get through it? Because there's something on the other side of it. And it's always joy. Jesus suffered for the joy that was before him. It was such great joy. It was worth another S. It was worth the Saviour suffering for your joy. Whoa. He's conquered. He's victorious. The resurrected, ascended, glorious Jesus is taking us through the storms. The disciples hadn't quite got what we've got. But also, do you know, we need to get something from the lessons of their lives and of what they lived. They are the ones who left everything to follow Jesus pre-cross. Everything. Everything in my Bible means just that. They left everything to follow him. Whoa. Sometimes we can't even get to church to follow him. Ouch. Don't stone the messenger. This is truth. These guys left everything to be with him. Other people who didn't even have Jesus inside their little boat still were with him in the dark, going to the other side of the lake. They didn't even know what they were going for. They just knew they wanted to be with him. And when he got there, they knew they wanted to be there. Wherever there was, they were going. Because Jesus had said, man, I long to see a church arise that lives like that. Jesus has said it, we're going. But your dinner's ready. I'm in this boat, I'm going. Why are you going? Because Jesus said, I'm going. But what about your dinner? I'm in the boat, I'm going. I'll catch something on the way. Who knows what they thought? But they were going because Jesus said, let us go. Yeah. He said that same word to us. G-O. Go. Be loosed to go. Be loosed to go because he said, go. They didn't know where they were going. They soon found out that on the way it was a bit tricky. But they also found out that Jesus took them through the tricky stuff. And he had said, not just let us go, but let us go to the other side. He's told us to go to the whole world. And that's what he wants us to live out. And he's in the boat. Whatever our storm in life right now makes no difference to the destiny and destination that God has got for you and for us. He cares very much about what happens to you. Remember today and every day, he shed his blood to rescue you. And then he said, go. Get others in this boat. Often in the old churches, if you look up when you stand in the nave, you'll see the ceiling and it looks like an upturned boat. It was to remind worshippers when they looked up that we were meant to be fishermen. Out on the lake of life, bringing in a catch for the kingdom. Always remember that Jesus is in your boat. He did not save you to abandon you when the going got tough. He's absolutely committed to you and has promised never to leave you. When the storm's raging and your boat's rocking and reeling, when adverse winds are blowing, when everything is going wrong, when waves of doubt, despair and depression are crashing over you, his promise is still, when you walk through the waters, when you walk where? When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. Woo! You will never. No. No. Isaiah 43:2, kind of, never be drowned. I've even got it in the New Living Translation here. His promise is still, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. You will never sink, never sink, never sink, never sink. Say never. I'm never going to sink beneath those waves. That storm is not having me. Jesus has got me. I'm going to the other side because he's got a job for me to do. These guys in the midst of the storm had quite forgotten what Jesus had said was going to happen. We're going to the other side. He'd already declared it. That's where we're going. I hadn't told them what they were going to do. I'm not quite sure I'd have leapt into the boat with such gay abandon if I'd known that there was a demoniac with a legion of demons to be faced down, but Jesus is sovereign over every single demon, and certainly sovereign over legions of them. However the storm comes against you, whatever is behind it, Jesus is in control. He's sovereign, the spirit of the sovereign Lord. Sovereign means he rules, he reigns, he governs, he's in authority over it. And there is no storm, whoever sends it, that can ever swamp you as long as you're with him. With him. With him. Not on your own. And Jesus woke up. Can you imagine? I was like, I do this sometimes. I'm thinking, how many people were in the boat? How many people had pounced on him? How many people were shaking him, dragging the pillow from under his head, tugging on his robe, saying, get that prayer cloth out. What's happening here? Don't you care? You're letting us die. You've put us in this boat and you've sent us in the lake and look what's happening. It was pandemonium. It wasn't a quiet, oh, excuse me, Jesus, do wake up. I think it was a bit of panic and pandemonium and a little bit of, don't all jump on him at once, you'll tip the boat up. Some of you stand over there and keep bailing out. I don't know. I just like to do these mad things. It quite kind of, oh, was it good? Oh, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. No. I couldn't do it again. I don't do on course. And he woke up. Well, you would, wouldn't you? And what did he do when he woke up? He just stood up. He woke up, stood up, spoke up. And it was over. Simple. He woke up, stood up, spoke up. Peace. Be still. We need, every time we're in the midst of a situation, I'm talking about in the midst because they were in the midst, we need to hear Jesus speak peace. And have confidence that we're going through. If we're doing what he's asked us to do, if we're living according to his word, man, we're going through. If it's a storm of sin, we need to repent. We need to get right. Because if it's a storm of sin, it will swamp your boat. We need to get right. And it's simple to get right. Repent, believe. Confess, repent. Believe. Come to the cross. Avail yourself of the blood. It's Jesus speaking. That's his peace to you. He's made his peace so available to you. Jesus proves himself faithful in the storm. And these men learned a lesson they could learn no other way. They'd seen Jesus heal, save, and deliver. But it seemed that watching it didn't enable them to access it for themselves. They needed to learn how faithful Jesus is for themselves. You can't live on my testimony. My testimony will encourage you. You can't live on Tanya's testimony or Pastor Shane's testimony. You can't live on somebody else's testimony. It will only encourage you. When it comes to the test, you're going to find God faithful for yourself. And in the storms, what is he doing? Discipling us, drawing us near to himself and deepening our faith. So that we too know him to be faithful for ourselves. So that we too know that we can stand and speak peace into the storm, because he's given us authority to do so. He's given us an anointing to do so, as Brian so uniquely prayed this morning. We need to know for ourselves that Jesus is taking us through. They stood amazed. What manner of man is this? All of a sudden, they weren't just seeing the man in his humanity, but the divinity of God. What manner of man is this that even the wind and waves obey him? Well, he'd made them. He knew how to still them. He's made you. He knows how to strengthen you. He knows how to take you through to the other side. And sometimes doesn't Jesus' question to those disciples echo down through the centuries? Why do you have so little faith? In fact, in the New King James, it says, why do you have no faith? Whatever storm you're in right now, God's speaking to you. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your job, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's coming from the world, whether it is beyond your control is not the issue, because the one who controls the wind and the waves is your Lord. You too, right now, need to stand up and speak peace into that storm. Align your life, which is getting into his boat. Align your life with the word of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God, and the peace of God. And you're going through to the other side. And this is an invitation for us to trust God. Not only when life's good. Not only when we've got good health and plenty of cash and family around us. But to trust God in the midst of the storm when we haven't. Because he's taking us through. He's taking us through. We're going to the other side. Trust God enough to let go of your fear and to go where you're sent. He's calling us to be a missional people. This was a missionary trip. We have just heard of a missionary trip. They weren't out for a ride on the sea. They weren't out for a natural fishing trip. This was a missionary trip. Because Jesus heard the cry of one man possessed by many devils. And he took a whole flotilla with him to show each and every one of them that he was going to take them through their personal fear barrier. And in doing so, they were going to see salvation and deliverance on a grand scale. The pigs weren't so happy. You're going to have to read chapter 5 for yourself. It's a real exciting story. The pigs weren't too chuffed. The farmers weren't too thrilled. But that one man went out into 10 cities. That was some missionary trip. How do you know that the person that God is asking you to speak to is not going to have that same encounter with Jesus? But if you don't speak, how will they hear? Get over yourself, get over your storm, get over your fear, get over intimidation, because that is from the enemy, and speak. Speak first of all peace into your storm, and then you can speak peace into the lives of others and see them set free. So who wants to see people come to salvation? Well, how are they going to hear about it unless we tell them? I don't want to go to heaven and see all the people that Jesus sent by me in somebody else's reward heap. I'm being serious. I'm being deathly, deadly serious. I want to see that people that were sent past me. Brian said this morning, you know, I can't remember it exactly. Anybody who was here will remember it. Have you sown into somebody's spoken or sown into somebody's life? And I just said, who knows? Because sometimes we won't know till we get to heaven that word that you spoke had that impact. And we shouldn't need to know, because that would make us proud. But unless you speak, that word won't make an impact. So get over that storm. Get over yourself. Get over the other side. See salvation come. That was the purpose of the journey. That was the storm that arose to prevent that man's destiny. But nothing can prevent your destiny. No storm can deny you. Because Jesus has said, we're going to the other side. Let's learn from the account so that we don't have to get into that kind of a situation ourselves, to learn personally as well. But let's know that God's with us and we're going to the other side for a purpose. Yes. Amen.